you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. Man, big difference is I have to be sure I got my glasses on now because I ain't got light to light it up. I can't hit the button and make it bigger either. Amen. That's a good thing about the iPad. I can go, and it gets them letters about that big. Glory. First Kings chapter 17, verse 3. The Lord speaking to Elijah said, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I shall command the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and he did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us tonight. Use me, Lord, as the power of your grace to touch these people with your word. God, help us to draw closer to you, for it is in Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, "Hey, doesn't matter if the brook dries up." I had a young man ask me one time, said, "Why do you drink so much water in your preaching?" I said, "I don't want my sermon to be dry." Glory. Amen. You know, many of us have experienced times in our lives when the blessings of God seem to disappear. And you know, I know you got those people that jump from mountain to mountain and never have a problem, never have a trouble, never have a trial. But I live in the real world. Hello? And it never ceases to amaze me how those guys crash when the real world does hit them. Amen. You ever notice those people, if something ever really goes wrong in their life, their faith just flies right out the window? I mean, you'd be around them and they fall apart and they almost have to have counseling because they were at such a high they can't understand every once in a while you're going to come down. And it doesn't matter who you are, life is going to happen. Amen. I wish I could tell you you'd never have a problem, trouble, and trial, but I've read the Word of God. And it tells me we're going to have afflictions. Matter of fact, it said the same things accomplished in the world will be accomplished among the brethren. You know what that means? It means everything going on out there can happen in here. Being a child of God does not exempt me from problems. What it does is let me know that I've got a God who tells me that no matter what happens, he will be with me. Amen. Doesn't matter what's going to happen, God's going to be there. Now, notice this, you can actually be, I had a guy told me, said, "Well, if you have problems in your life, you're out of the will of God." Now, church, there's a word for that we used to use in Buell. We used to make sandwiches out of it pretty regular. It's called bologna. Glory. The disciples were in a boat. Jesus said, "Launch out, go to the other side." They were doing exactly what he told them to do, going exactly where they told them to go. And what happened? They were hit with a storm. Hello? I remember one time he was even in the boat with them, and they got hit with a storm. This man, Elijah, is suffering some of the same problem. At God's bidding in his prayer, he prays and said, "God, don't let it rain. Don't let dew get on the ground. Don't let nothing happen to bring water to this land." And suddenly it quit raining. And the dew quit coming up into the grass. And all of a sudden things started drying up and the flowers started fading and everything started going away. And about that time Elijah looks up to God and said, "Hey, what about me? I've been living for you. And now I done proclaimed the drought and I'm in the middle of it." Hello? He was doing what God told him to do, carrying out God's bidding in the world, standing up for the truth of God. And all of a sudden, he's caught in the same thing everybody else is caught in. And notice what happened. God said, "Go down and sit by the brook Cherith, and I'll take care of you. You can drink of the brook, and you'll be fed." And he goes down and he gets by the brook. Sure enough, he's got nice cool water and he's sitting there and drinking that water. Everything's fine, man. He's got it made. Every day about lunchtime, one of the ravens would go down by Ahab's kitchen and steal him a Big Mac or a quarter pounder. Glory. It was flesh and bread. That's hamburger where I come from. Glory. Or a ham sandwich or something. And since Ahab was probably the only one had a lot of that, I figured a raven just steal it out of his own kitchen. That's my story. I'll stick with it. Doesn't really matter where they got it from, but every day they brought him something to eat, and he's got it made. He's sitting there enjoying the drought. See, church, when there is a drought, you can't enjoy it if God's blessing you. And then all of a sudden, the blessings dried up. The brook got a little narrower. Then it got a little shallower. Then the next thing you know, there ain't no brook at all. I mean, he's over there digging around in little sections finding water to drink, and he starts complaining. You ever notice no matter how God blesses some folks? Hello? Y'all may not believe this, but I've been around people, if God blessed them with $100, they'd gripe because it was green. Amen. Because some folks ain't happy no matter what God does for them. You know, I mean, we got people, if God gave them a Toyota, they'd be mad because they didn't have a Mercedes. Glory. Because that guy on TV said, I'd have a Mercedes. And that's not what the Word of God said. That's what the guy on TV said. Amen. God said, I'll provide your needs, not you all your wants like that. Come on, church. Amen. And all of a sudden, the brook dries up. And the question tonight I want to ask you is, what do you do when the brook dries up? Now, you say, preacher, why do you want to study this man Elijah? James chapter 5, verse 17. For Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not in the earth for a span of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. Now notice what it said. Elijah was a man of like passion. You know what that means? He's just like me and you. He got up every morning. He had dreams and ideas like we do. He had thoughts of what he wanted to accomplish in the world like we do. But he had one problem. He was a prophet of God, tied to whatever God wanted to happen in his life. And for that reason, he had to live that way. But can I tell you, if we're really going to be children of God, we can't be just concerned on what's going to happen in our life. But we need to be concerned with what's happening with the church, what's happening with God's work, what's happening in the harvest. Could you say amen? Real people who love God and are part of the bride of Christ are going to be concerned the harvest that Christ is trying to make in this world. And all of a sudden we got this guy Elijah who, because of the things that are going on, steps up to be God's man. Now he's getting blessed while everybody else is living in a drought. And before the drought's over, he has a little problem arise. That brook he's taken out of dries up too. Now, what do you do when the brook dries up? You got to keep believing that God has something else. Church, it doesn't matter how God blessed Sister So-and-so. God can bless you in all other kind of ways. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that people come to the altar and want to pray people through to some kind of experience in God, and they think it's got to happen the way it happened to them. Come on, church. I never forget camp meeting one night, and one of our evangelists, he was here, and I was sitting there with him, and he was praying with a guy in the altar at the old campground on Glory Hill. And he told me, he said, that's it, brother, just keep praising God. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And he turned around, and when he did, that guy grabbed him. He said, boy, don't you tell me how to get the Holy Ghost. I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 22 years. I'm better at this than you are. Now, he didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he knew how to do it. He was a professional seeker. Glory. And then I've seen others, because somebody got the Holy Ghost and it didn't happen to them like it did them, they didn't think it was the Holy Ghost. Or, you know, they had to do it like Granny used to do it. I got news for you, friend. Every one of us are different. Every one of us react differently with our emotional touch of God that touches us. Come on, church. Amen. And when things are going in our life, it's not always going to be exactly the same way, because we are different. God may have a different reason for doing what he does in our lives. Amen. I never forget one night my brother was praying. He was saying, God, whatever it takes, I want the Holy Ghost. And y'all remember back in the 70s when men wore them shoes with the heels on the back about like that? Some of y'all act like you didn't wear them. He
He had some of them shoes, and he was standing there, and all of a sudden he started crying. He said, I can't look down. I said, what's wrong? He said, God, the shorty wore my legs. I looked, and his heel had come off his shoe. I started not to tell him. He thought God shortened one of his legs so he'd get the Holy Ghost. I don't know what he was looking for, but amen. But we've had people have things like that happen to just mess their brain up. Let me tell you something, church. Amen. We need to realize that there's no cutting edge that's going to tell me as long as it's in the Word of God, it can happen to me. Come on, church. Amen. If God said it, it's always possible in my life. But I've got to understand that when the blessing stops, that don't mean the blessings are over. When the brook dries up, I've got to believe God's got something else. I remember as an evangelist, God provided for me. Some of you may not know this, but for 35 years, I evangelized. For most of those 35 years, I went home every night. I don't care if I was in Dothan, Alabama. When my car turned off, I was sitting in the yard. Now, y'all may not gather this, but that's a lot of money in gas. And I had a gentleman was helping me, and he died. And all of a sudden, it looked like I was fixed to have to start staying again because I got kids in college, and I've got bills to be paid, and I can't spend $200 and $300 a week on gas to go home every night. And lo and behold, a heathen. And I love him to death, but he wouldn't go to church for nothing. But he called me and said, come by my office. I went by his office. He said, I understand that you like to drive back and forth to be home with your family. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, take this card with you and buy your gas. And he gave me a credit card for a gas company. I said, well, man, that's great. He said, hang on a minute. That kind of gas may not be where you are. He threw me another one. He said, take that one. And I ended up with three credit cards on three different gas companies. He said, buy your gas with those cards. I said, well, sir, is there a limitation? He said, if there is one, I'll tell you when you pass it. Glory. I thought I was in trouble. God already had somebody working on the other side. Before it was over with, that man actually ended up in church. Now, I didn't have a lot to do with it other than he just kept supporting me and God blessed him, but he ended up in a church getting saved. Amen. Giving his heart to God. Amen. And I used to get so tickled because people around the community say, hey, who is it helps you with the gas? I said, if he wants you to know, he'll tell you. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. Why? Because he didn't want people to know. You say, well, preacher, why are you telling us that? Listen to what happened. Listen, the brook dries up. The ninth verse. He said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and there dwell there. For behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. When the brook dried, he said, go on down to the next town. I got somebody going to take care of you. Amen. And all of a sudden, the prophet gets up and heads down towards Zarephath, and he's walking down the road by faith that something's going to be there. And the more farther he goes, the drier it gets. And he gets to Zarephath and walks up, and he, you know, have you ever noticed you go somewhere, you're looking for somebody, and they're not always, you can't figure out how you're going to find them? Glory. You know, you go to the airport, there's always people standing around with signs for somebody to pick them up, telling who they are, who they're looking for, so you can find them. Amen. What's wild is when you go somewhere, ain't got a clue who you're looking for, never laid an eye on them, don't know how you're going to find them, and God finds a way to put the two of you together when you do what God tells you to do, and you end up in the right place, the right time, with the right person. Glory. He walks up to Zarephath, and the woman's walking around picking up sticks. Hello? And he said to the woman, I believe it's the 11th verse. She said, and she was going to fetch it. He called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we're going to eat it and die like everybody else. Didn't say that, but that's what was going on. Folks were dying. She had some meal and some oil. She's going to eat that little bit of meal. Now, church, y'all can take this any way you want to. But some of you, the reason why your meal barrel keeps running out is because you don't want to eat out of the barrel. I mean, you can eat that meal, but when it's gone, it ain't going to bless you. But if you learn how to give some of that meal away, it'll begin to multiply.
All you preachers are all alike. And learn from a good man. So Elijah's sitting there, and this lady tells him, I ain't got enough meal for just one more cake. I'm fixing to cook it. Me and my boy are going to die. And listen to what Elijah said. Elijah said to her, fear not. Go do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. Isn't that like a Church of God preacher? Feed me first. Glory. Hello. Amen. The lady just got through telling him, I've not got but enough meal for make one more cake. I'm going to make it. Me and my son's going to eat it and die. He said, go on to do like he said he's going to do. When you get through cooking it, bring it to me. Glory. Notice she wasn't a liberated modern woman. She didn't look at him and say, hey, didn't I just tell you? You don't get a clue, do you? I don't have enough meal for you a cake. I got enough meal for me and my boy one. She went in, cooked the cake, and brought it back to him. I can see that boy out there smelling that. Have you ever been hungry and just smell something you really want? Every time I've ever fasted, I get around somewhere on into the fast where somebody's cooking something I just love, which could be most anything. Glory. Ain't no need to lie about it. I remember one time I was fasting and my mama was cooking peanut butter cookies. And I was 2 weeks into a fast and she's cooking cookies and I'm wanting to eat the wall. I can smell them cookies, and y'all may not remember. Y'all remember the old cartoon where the little old dog would just kind of float behind stuff he wanted? It's a cartoon. They could do that. He just float around. Look, I was like I was following that food, just floating in the air, headed to the kitchen, knowing I couldn't eat the cookies. And I finally had to turn, go out the back door, and leave the house until she got the cookies out. And I actually told her, said, would you leave the windows up for a while? Glory. I mean, I didn't want to go back in there and eat a pillow or something. Glory. Some of y'all ain't never fasted. I can tell because y'all going, I ain't never had that experience. Glory. Do you see this kid? He's been sitting around waiting on this cake of bread. Mama's done told him we only got enough for one. And there she comes out of the house with that hot cake, fresh cooked, and she walks right by him and hands it to the preacher. I want you to get this picture. I would imagine that kid's wanting to know if mom got a third stick he can use on the preacher. Glory. Because he's sitting over there, and notice the preacher didn't break a little off and say, son, you want some of this? He's sitting there and he's munching the whole thing. But notice this. He said this by faith. Make me the cake, then go cook you and your son one. When the lady handed him the cake, she turns around, goes back in the house, and there was enough meal to make another cake and enough oil to make another cake. Now, I've heard preachers preach this that ain't got no clue about Scripture because they said she went back in, found a 10-pound bag of meal or a 50-pound bag of meal. If that had been the case, she'd have been required to set up a soup kitchen and feed everybody in town. See, what's wrong with some folks is they get overblessed and they think the abundance is theirs and they don't understand if God overblessed you, it's so you can bless others. Ooh, that's good preaching. Amen. Y'all that don't believe that, you need to be here Wednesday night. Glory. Amen. You know why? Because we've got to understand faith in God without works to prove you're connected to God, the Bible said, is dead. If you've got faith and you say you love God and yet you never give to help others or never do to help others or never have any works toward the work of the kingdom of God to do for others, you are kidding yourself if you believe you're in love with a God who gives and you don't give. Oh, that's good preaching. Glory. And I'm giving away the Wednesday night sermon, but it's in me because I've been working on it. Glory. And I'm fighting to stay out of James the whole time. Amen. But the reality is that's where we are. She goes in there and starts baking. Now, she didn't have a 10-pound bag of meal. She had just enough meal and just enough oil to cook another cake. She goes in there the next time. There's just enough meal and just enough oil. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of you need to quit waiting on the lottery. You need to quit waiting on the $1 million coming in the mail and realize
realize that as long as you trust God, there'll be just enough to get you by, just enough to take you through another day. God never promised to make you a millionaire, but I will provide for you if you will do what I say do. Could you say amen? Woo! I may never have a lot of money in this world, but I'm building a retirement plan that can't wait. Glory. Amen. Because I got news for you. If I got it down here, it's getting out of me because I want some more. Glory. My theory of life is if God gave it to me, it's so he can get it through me. And if I let it go through me, there'll be some more come to me. Glory. Amen. Some of the people of the church world today are kind of like the children of Israel in the desert. When they saw the manna, they got a whole bunch, and the worms eat up most of it because they're so busy hoarding it up they didn't realize it wasn't going to last. Hello? You only get what God tells you to get. You only take the provision God gives you. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Well, what about these people that are multimillionaires? Church, some of them folks ain't living right, but I do know multimillionaires that are living right. Amen. And if you get around them very long, you'll find out that they give away more than they keep a lot of times. It just God blesses them so much what they keep is a lot more than some of us has. Hello? Glory. That's good preaching. We got folks that are upset because they ain't rich and they want to pay the tithes on what they got. I could leave this, but this is good preaching. I have an acquaintance that I've been trying to get to come here. Somebody told me, said, you won't stay there long. I said, who cares? He's faithful to pay his tithes where he's going. And he drops $20,000 to $25,000 a month in the church. And I'm like, if he'll come for 6 months, we in good shape. Glory. I'm talking about a guy that was at a church and the economy fell off and he's in construction and, man, he was having all kind of struggles. And the pastor come up, pastor appreciation, and he was out there joking about it. And he said, you believe they gave him a Lincoln for his pastor appreciation? Well, he paid half of it. He didn't know I knew that, but I did. Of course, I looked at him. I said, look at the pickup truck you got. F-250 tricked out with everything you can think on it. He said, well, you got to have some comforts in life. Glory. I was running revival at that church, and I'll never forget, he walked by me, and he said, can I tell you something I won't tell anybody else? I just want to tell you. I said, sure. He said, last month, God spoke to me and said the church was going to have a financial shortfall because people wouldn't pay their tithes because the economy was messed up. And he said, I just went in and told my wife that I felt like we need to pay extra tithes. And said she handed me the check from her tithes, and it was already for 20% instead of 10. And he said, I looked at it and said, that's what God said we ought to do. And he said, for the last month and a half, we've been paying 20% of whatever we made. And he said, today, I signed 3 contracts. This was November. He said, by the end of December, I will have taken in close to $2 million, and half of that will be profit. I said, you going to pay tithes on that? He said, I'm giving the 20%. Hello? Come on, church, smile. Somebody said, now, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not. See, he was faithful when God gave him a little bit, so now he's got a whole lot because God knows he'll be faithful with that. Come on, church, smile at me. I know that's hard to comprehend when you ain't got nothing, but if you'll be faithful with what you got, God will give you more. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. This little lady didn't complain. She kept going in, baking the man a piece of cake and going back and fixing her. I guess it was cornbread or flatbread or whatever she was cooking. She'd go back in, cook one for her and her son. And every day till the rain started falling, there was enough meal to make a cake, enough oil to cook it in. Amen. And they had plenty to get by on until the rain started falling and the fruit began to come out of the ground. And then it wasn't necessary anymore. Could you say amen? Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Glory. See, church, what you got to realize, if we keep believing, God's provision will always be sufficient. And it'll last until something better comes. But notice this. If you're living for God, no matter how good things are, and I'm not going to preach much longer. I know some of you think that I'm going to, but I probably won't. Satan sometimes targets people that are working for God. Where do you think the communists found out in Vietnam how to help mess things up? Where do you think people all during the years figured out how to fight a war? Well, you kill the leader. That's what made the British mad when they fought us. There was an agreement, a gentleman's agreement in war. You didn't shoot the leaders because they were men of honor. And they had property. You shoot all them other dudes out there because they nothing worth nothing. Hello? That's why if you were in the British or the French army, you always wanted to be somebody. So when you got an army, you didn't have to worry about getting shot. You could walk right up front of the other lines. They wouldn't shoot you because it was a gentleman's agreement. And when they came to America, the British got mad because we kept shooting their leaders. They even negotiated with some of our militia and said, we will lighten up on your families if you'll quit shooting our officers. When they cut a deal, the deal was always the officers come out, we take them, everybody else can go. You remember the history of the Alamo? When they were negotiating with Santa Ana to start with, and Jim Bowie had cut a deal where they'd take the officers, which was Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, and Travis, and those three men could walk out and the rest of them could leave as long as they vacated that fort. And while he's down there negotiating, Mr. Travis fires a cannon at him. Negotiations are broke off. Immediately, they start playing a song and run a flag up. And when you look at the flag, it just had markings on it, but everybody knew what that flag meant. It meant no quarter given, no surrender allowed. And they run the flag up, and all those guys were yelling, "What's going on?" And they said, Davy Crockett looked at everybody and said, "We all just got promoted." Hello? Preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, the devil knows how to fight a war. And he's going to fight those that are in the lead to try to keep people from following. Come on, church. This is good stuff. I don't believe that. How many of you have ever heard of David Wilkerson? You ever sat and studied the man's life? He had cancer 3 times. He had his colon burst in his body, and he spent 6 months in intensive care and almost died. Yeah, we're talking about a man that was a leading minister in the world for years. But the farther he went up the mountain, the more the enemy tried to take him down. And the more the enemy tried to take him down, the more he accomplished for God. Amen. Come on, church. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? We got to understand that if we're working for God, Satan ain't going to be happy about what we're doing. Amen. And if we're in a battle, there's always a chance he's going to get a shot every once in a while. It's going to hurt. And no matter who you are, you're not exempt to having troubles. Well, yeah, preacher, I don't know. Remember what I said about Elijah? He was a man of like passion. And Ahab told Jezebel, 1 Kings chapter 19, all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets of the sword. And Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. All of a sudden, Elijah's got a problem. He stood up to the prophets of Baal. He killed every one of them. Y'all heard the story. He's up on the mountain mocking them. Then he builds his own place. He said, that ain't good enough. Covers it with water. Then prays a prayer. 60-something words. Fire comes down, laps up everything. And then he kills the prophets of Baal. And the next thing you know, Jezebel puts out a contract on him. And said, may the God slay me by this time tomorrow if I don't do the same thing to you. And no matter how close to God you get, sometimes you break. Hello? Somebody said, what are you talking about, you break? 1 Kings chapter 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, that I am not better than my fathers. Elijah, the man that prayed for the rain to stop, the man that prayed and it started raining again, the man that stood up to the prophets of Baal and laughed at them and mocked while they were praying to their God, is now sitting under a juniper tree saying, kill me. Just take me. Because if she gives me, it's going to be ugly. Because he knows she's going to torture him and enjoy it. And he's saying, God, if you just give me a heart attack while I'm sitting here, it'll be all over with quick. I'll just go on to be with my fathers. There are times when you look at yourself and say, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? When you look around and see other people that don't seem to be having the trouble you're having, you keep trying to figure out, why am I going through what I'm going through? And Elijah's sitting there. He's saying, God, kill me. Remember what I told you got to do? You got to keep believing that no matter what's going on, God has something else in store. Because for every valley, there's two mountains, or they ain't a valley. Hello? So if I've been on one mountain and I've gotten a valley, all I got to do is realize there's another mountain on the other side. And if I can make it across the valley, I can get up on top of the other mountain. That's why the psalmist said, I look to the mountaintop. Because he even realized, no matter how good I am, I'm not always going to be on a mountain. But when I'm in the valley, I can look to the mountaintop from which cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord. And if I hang on to him, God's going to bring me out. Hallelujah. And there's Elijah feeling sorry for himself, all ready to die, ready to commit suicide by letting God help him. Glory. That's assisted suicide. God, kill me. Glory. And about that time, he falls asleep. And an angel woke him up. 19th in the 5th verse. And he lay and he slept under the juniper tree. Behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. He looked and behold, there was a cake baked in the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time, touched him, and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose, and he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of him the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. Amen. Now, church, I can prove to you Elijah was church of God. I don't know about Baptists and Methodists. I know some Baptist Methodist preachers, but they're not close enough to know them as well. But notice something. He fed him and then come out and gave him seconds. Glory. That's church of God. Amen. I know church of God preachers. We're going to get seconds. Amen. I was at eating lunch today, and the guy come by and said, anybody need a gold plate? I said, I'll take one. There wasn't nothing on my plate. He said, you want a gold plate? I said, sure. He fixed me one just like I had, put it in a gold plate. I thought he was offering. I didn't know he was just. Come on, church. I'm playing. He didn't bring it. I probably wouldn't have turned it down, but he didn't bring it. Glory. And if you've ever eaten with me, I'm at a restaurant, and they come by. I'll let the waitress say, hey, do y'all get free refills? Yeah, I'll fill this up, and I'll handle my plate. I actually did that one time at the Marshalls, and a lady come back with some more fish. Glory. But he told him, he said, I'm going to let you eat because you need to go to Horeb. And notice this. He went from the tree of despair to the mountain of God. That'd be awesome if I didn't know what Horeb meant, but Horeb means total desolation. Amen. He went from desperation and depression to total desolation in a cave on the side of desolation, searching for God. And finally, God speaks to him and says, Elijah, how did you get here? What brought you from where you were to where you are? He said, don't you know that I got 7,000 men who haven't bowed the veil? Because Elijah thought he was the only one left. He said, no, you're not the only one left. I got seven church. Listen, don't ever think you're the only one going through something. We all going through something, or been through something, or going to hit something. Come on, church. And when you start feeling sorry for yourself, maybe you need to look around, because you can always find somebody worse off than you are to feel sorry for them instead of you. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. Because if you start thinking about you, you can have your pity party in a heartbeat. But it ain't going to get you better. And all of a sudden, the angel says, you remember what I said? If you believe God's got something, he's always got something. He said, now, what you need to do is leave this cave and go. And I want you to go and anoint Hazael, king of Syria. Isn't it amazing? He's going to anoint the guy that's going to be a thorn in the flesh to the children of Israel the whole time he rules. He said, and anoint Jehu, king of Judah, and anoint Elijah to take your place. Amen. Here's a guy. The brook dries up on him. God provides him a widow. God blesses, and he leaves the widow. And the next thing you know, he's working for God again. And he kills the prophets of Baal. And Jezebel puts a contract out on him. And finally, he goes, enough is enough, God. I'm just ready to go. And God said, but I'm not through with you yet. You got to run the race. You got to keep the faith. Now, go on and do what I told you to do. But then he follows it up with a statement I hope I don't ever hear. He said, go and train Elijah to take your place. Now, church, I may actually be doing what I just said I didn't want to do. One of the things that made Eric want to come here and be an MIP candidate is he feels like God's calling him into evangelism. He was discouraged by the former pastor because he told him evangelism was dead and wasn't no such thing as revival in the church and men couldn't preach revivals anymore, and I'm thinking that's why it ain't happening to people like him. Glory. But Eric came here because he wants me to help him learn about ministry. And I'm going to teach him about pastoring and things that I can find out and know. But I'm also going to tell him everything I learned while I was on the field. And I'm going to pour into him. So if he does move into evangelism, he can be effective and maybe get a little farther up the ladder than I did before he got started. Come on, church. Amen. But I used to tell people, I hope God never tells me I got to train somebody to take my place because that means I'm out of a job. Don't bother me now. I've left the job so I can train somebody. Come on, church. Amen. But can you imagine how Elijah felt? He's sitting there going, hey, go anoint this dude. He's taking your place. Now, that's a good sign. He's fixing to get the wish he made up under the juniper tree. And I think somewhere down the line, God revealed to him, I'm fixing to take you up. Because you know the story, Elijah never died. God swept him up in a whirlwind, and he's going to come back during the book of Revelation and be one of the two witnesses on this earth, and then he will die. Hello? Come on, church, that's good preaching. I know I went over some of his head, but you need to read the Bible. Glory. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of you need to realize just because your blessing stopped doesn't mean God stopped moving in your life. Just because things ain't got you on the top of the hill right now don't mean you ought to be out having a mully grub party worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. You need to get yourself by the bootstraps and get up. Get a smile back on your face and say, hey, take your best shot, Satan. We're ready to go another round. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I've never been one to quit in the middle of a fight. Fight ain't over till somebody's out. That's the way I was in high school. You didn't hit me, knock me down, walk off. You better hope you didn't, because I'd find something in me and you'd be back at it as soon as I got enough strength to get up. Hello? Because I don't quit till somebody can't fight no more. And I'm not quitting now. I don't care what Satan's got in store for me in this world. I'm going to keep fighting him until God says, hey, I'm ready to bring you home. I'm going to keep fighting him until something happens or Satan gives up and realizes I need to move to another town. This guy ain't backing off. You say, that don't happen. Oh, yes, it does. I can tell you that when the prophet Elijah got set up just right, the Bible tells me in the book of 1 Kings, or 2 Kings, rather, the second chapter, somewhere along there, and the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Why? Because the prophet Elijah said, I've had enough of y'all. You might as well back off, because I'm not backing down and I'm not backing up. And it's time for you to go find somebody else to pick on. And it's time some of us told the devil, I've had enough of this. I'm getting on my knees and I'm burying my face in the word. And I'm not backing off till you're gone. Woo! Well, preacher, you talk like that, you'll get somebody hurt. Not if they do it the right way. Because my Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If I do it in the word and in the anointing of God, I got a right to believe I can have victory. Could you say amen? Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. Would you just raise your hands and praise him tonight? Father, I love you. God, I praise you. Lord, I believe you to reach down and touch your people tonight. Minister to us with the power, the authority, and the glory of your Holy Spirit. God, move on us with your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.